Good morning. It is Tuesday, November the 26th in the year of our Lord 2024. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. We are going to begin this Tuesday, the last Tuesday of our Exodus series, just like we began the first Tuesday of our Exodus series, in a time of consecration, presenting ourselves to the Lord for the day ahead. Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Abba, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Yes, Abba, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled, Moses Bowed to the Ground at Once and Worshipped. How might God experience your worship? Our text is Exodus chapter 34, verses 8 through 14. Hear now the word of the Lord. Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshiped. Lord, he said, if I have found favor in your eyes, then let the Lord go with us. Although this is a stiff-necked people, forgive our wickedness and our sin, and take us as your inheritance. Then the Lord said, I am making a covenant with you. Before all your people, I will do wonders never before done in any nation in all the world. The people you live among will see how awesome is the work that I, the Lord, will do for you. Obey what I command you today. I will drive out before you the Amorites, Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Be careful not to make a treaty with those who live in the land where you are going, or they will be a snare among you. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, and cut down their Asherah poles. Do not worship any other god. For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshiped. This, of course, was in response to his encounter yesterday with Yahweh. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. That's Exodus 34, 6 and 7. Let me test a working hypothesis with you as we get started today. Here it is. God is as real to you as your worship is real to Him. Let me take that a slightly mind-blowing step further. We talk a lot about our experience of God, but do we ever really consider how God experiences us? It's what I love about today's opening words. Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshiped. Slightly invasive question. When is the last time you did that? Bowed down to the ground and worshiped God. Most all of us believe in God. It's more or less a settled issue, but how real is God to you in your everyday actual experience? Back to my working hypothesis. God is as real to you as your worship is real to him. So how real do you think your worship is to God? What about at church? What about in private? I'm not asking if your worship of God is physically demonstrative. It doesn't have to be physically demonstrative to be real. But the Bible does reveal worship most often as a physically embodied posture, like raising one's hands or bowing down or prostrating oneself on the ground. Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshiped. Consider these lines from Psalm 95. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. That's verse 6 and 7. For half my life, and still now at times, I am content to let my worship exist in my heart as a generalized sense of felt gratitude and sometimes affection aimed generally in God's direction. I suspect God experiences this at about the same level I do, real, but kind of vague. If I'm honest, that is how I reacted to some of the most stunning words in all of Scripture yesterday. I don't in any way mean to question your worship or your sincerity before God. I'm just asking you to consider it. Might it be true that God is as real to you as your worship is real to him? While faith is definitely a matter of the heart, the life of faith is not primarily lived out in the heart. It is lived from the heart, but through our actual bodies. In fact, our bodies will invariably tell the story of our hearts. Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshiped. The Bible teaches us that our hearts are deceitful above all things. See Jeremiah 17:9. Our bodies, though, our movements and our actions do not lie. They tell the story of our hearts. And I think the way our bodies worship, perhaps more than anything else, tells that story. Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshiped. We communicate through two primary languages, our spoken words and our bodies, hence the term body language. We don't have a body, we are a body. The implications of that last sentence are staggering. By a simple act of will, we can decide to say something to God with our bodies today, right now. And it can actually change, even transform, the quality of faith in your heart. I want you to consider a movement of worship with your body today, even right now. Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshiped. Let's pray our prayer for deliverance. Lord Jesus, you are my deliverer. I receive your deliverance from a vague, general, disembodied way of worshiping you. I receive your deliverance from my indifference as it comes to how you might experience my worship of you. I receive your deliverance into an experiential, fully embodied way of worshiping you. I receive your deliverance into a way of worship wherein I care how you experience my worship. Teach and train my body to worship you. I find myself waiting for some kind of feeling or emotional experience to lead me to physical and embodied worship. Something tells me it can be the other way around, too, that my bowed body or my lifted hands or my prostrated posture can actually change my spirit. Give me the grace and courage today, even if I am all by myself, to be stretched in my body to worship you. It will be for your glory, for others' gain, and for our good. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. 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 Here's our journal prompts for today. What is your comfort level with the embodied, even demonstrative, physical worship of God? Raising hands, bowing low, etc. How about at football games? What might your unwillingness to express any physically embodied dimension of worship to God say about your heart? I know I'm pressing there. We're going to sing today. Again, I think we're just going to sing our sanctuary song with a sense of embodiedness to it. Just like offering our body. We say it in the consecration prayer every day. Offer my body as a living sacrifice. That's from Romans 12, 1, verse 1, I believe. Yeah. But like really with a sense of God is experiencing this act of worship. We'll try to sing it with that sense of embodiedness, maybe opening your palms up before the Lord, maybe raising your hands, maybe kneeling on the ground, maybe laying prostrate, putting your arms extended into the form of the cross on the ground. I like to pray that way and sing that way sometimes, just making the sign of the cross on the ground with my body. So we're going to sing that. And before we do, again, I mean, it's easy to feel like I'm maybe pushing too hard here or being critical. That's not my heart to be critical. I do want to be engaging and probing out. Like, I just notice, and I get pushback when I start going here sometimes, and that's okay. I expect it. It's our body. There's a book, maybe you've heard of it. It's called Our Body. The Body Keeps the Score. I think I would say it in the way I'm talking about it today. The body, our body tells the story. It tells the story of what's going on in our heart, and it can actually lead our heart. Sometimes our hearts, or a lot of times our hearts, deceive us. But the body doesn't lie. It doesn't tell. It doesn't lie. It's actually going to tell the story. So just kind of go with it today. We'll sing this through a couple of times. And I think as we're singing, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. And I think that's really kind of been one of the big moves through this whole series. It's like, well, does that just mean kind of in my thoughts and feelings? Or does this actually mean in my physical body? I think this is the way the Bible is going. It's everything it's saying about the tabernacle, and later it's going to say about the temple. All of the real essence of all of that is being transferred into our very physical human bodies. And if it's not happening there, it's not happening. So again, how you express your worship, that's personal. I know that can be private, but it is telling a story. And I'm just encouraging you to stretch, literally stretch. Let's sing. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Now, as we sing it the second time, just be conscious of your physical body as the temple of God, of the Holy Spirit. And be welcoming of the Lord. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Amen. Well, as we get ready to hit the fields today, it's Tuesday. I'll be looking for some tacos somewhere along the way. Maybe I'll meet you there. But you know, as we begin the day with a sense of the actual presence of God, Jesus Christ in our bodies by the indwelling Holy Spirit, as we're aware of that and attuned to Him. You see, He's the one moving through us throughout the day. That's how sowing happens. It's at His initiative. It's through His guidance, His leadership. We are moving out this day following Him from within us. We're the mobile tabernacle. The Spirit of God tabernacling in our bodies, just like it did in Him in His time on earth. You see, He's doing the very same thing in and through us now. And the goal is to be attuned, be aware, to be attentive, to be abiding. That's what we're doing. That's what sowing is about. Being responsive, taking risks, being bold, being kind, being humble. I think you get my point. Well, get your seeds. I've got mine. I'll see you on the field. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.